I want to read this evening from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 54. Then they took him, that's the Lord Jesus, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with them. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Then Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and inspired word. As I say, I've been asked to speak on Peter this evening. And of course, Peter is one of the most famous and most favorite characters of all in the word of God. If I wanted to give a synopsis of the life of Peter, we can do it in a couple of ways. There's a couple of writers that I was reading as I was studying Peter, and they summarized Peter's life in a way that's easy to remember. One talked about how it began. He said his eye was on the Lord. And that goes back to Peter's salvation. When Peter was brought to the Lord by his brother Andrew, it says Andrew brought him to Jesus. What a wonderful thing to bring someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful privilege. And so his eye was on the Lord. Then he said his mind was on the storm. You'll remember how when Peter was in the boat and the Lord was walking on water, Peter says, Bid me come to thee. And the Lord asked him to come. And Peter got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. And he was going well. But then he took his eyes off the Lord. And he saw the wind that was boisterous and he began to sink. And so we could talk about Peter whose eye was on the Lord. His mind was on the storm. Then we could talk about Peter when his foot was in his mouth. And that happened a number of times. Perhaps the most famous was when Peter scolded the Lord, actually rebuked the Lord, when Jesus said that he had to die. He says, I must suffer and die and be buried and rise again. And Peter only listened to the half of it. And Peter rebuked the Lord and said, Be it far from thee. And of course, Peter put his foot in his mouth. Because if he had listened, he would have realized that this was the reason that the Lord had come. Then, in our reading here this evening, we see tears in his eyes. Peter let the Lord down. Peter denied the Lord. Peter was ashamed. And as the Lord looked on him, and as he looked on the Lord, he remembered the relationship he had. He remembered all the good times. And he realized how far he was from the Lord. And it says that he went out and wept bitterly. So he had his eye on the Lord. He had his mind on the storm. He put his foot in his mouth. He had tears in his eyes. Then there was the boat on the lake, his boat on the lake. In John 21, Peter says, I go a-fishing. This is after the resurrection of the Lord. And it seemed Peter was going to go back to the old life. It seemed he had given up on the Lord coming to him. The Lord told him to wait on the mountain, but Peter got impatient. And he says, I go a-fishing, and the rest followed him. And there Peter again in disobedience was out on the lake on a boat. And yet again we see how the Lord brought him in and challenged him about his love and said, Lovest thou me more than these? In Acts 2 we see his Lord on the throne. And I believe that's Peter's highlight of his life. On the day of Pentecost, when a man was needed to stand up and speak. And Peter was that man. He stood up and he preached the gospel. And 3,000 souls were saved. I believe that was Peter's greatest moment. Peter's highlight of his spiritual life. And there we call that his Lord on the throne. Then we read about his pen in his hand. Because when you go to the end of the New Testament, you'll discover his two great epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. We could talk about his hand in his pocket. You'll remember in Acts 3 when there was the beggar, the man who'd been lame from his mother's womb. And he asked alms of Peter and John, and Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And, you know, we may not have silver and gold, but if you're saved, you've got something better. you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter was willing to share the Lord with someone else. And so we see Peter's hand in his pocket. Then we see his life on the line as he faced the mighty Sanhedrin. Peter could have died because the Sanhedrin had put the Lord Jesus to death. Later on, Stephen would be stoned to death. And so Peter's life was on the line. And remember how he was scared of a little girl, and we look at it in a moment. And yet here, facing the highest court in the land, the highest religious court, he stood square and he says, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then we could see Peter's back to the wall in Acts chapter 10 when he had brought the gospel to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 11, he faces criticism from his own people. And God's people were criticizing him. Some Jews felt that Gentiles shouldn't be part of the church, and if they were, they should be circumcised. And so Peter, as a former Orthodox Jew, found his back to the wall, facing opposition from his own people. And sometimes the fiercest opposition comes from God's people. And then, of course, we could talk about his name on the list. And I'm talking about Nero's list. Nero was one of the cruelest and wickedest men who ever lived. A man who persecuted the church. A man who thought nothing of having Christians thrown to the lions, burnt to death, or even crucified. And it was he who gave the orders, historians tell us, for Peter to be taken out. And again, history tells us, and historians tell us, that Peter asked to be crucified upside down to make amends for the time in which he denied the Lord. And so that's the synopsis of Peter's life, just looking at different simple headings. Another one has said we could look at Peter's feet. We could look at the time when Peter had wayward feet. That's before he was saved. We could look at the time when Peter had wet feet. Again, when he was on the boat, he walked on water and he had wet feet. We could look at the time when he had washed feet. You remember in John 13, when the Lord washed the feet of the disciples, and Peter says, not my feet. And the Lord says, I have to wash your feet. And then Peter goes to the opposite and says, wash all of me, not just my feet. But you could look at Peter when he had washed feet. We could look at Peter when he had wandering feet, when he followed afar off. But then, of course, we could look at Peter when he had beautiful feet. Because how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And so that's how you could look at Peter's life in a little synopsis. But I had intended to take a little bit of different places in Peter and put it all together just to give you an overview. But I decided not to do that. I just want to look at the incident that we read tonight, Peter's denial of the Lord. And I just want to challenge you this evening. We can entitle this message tonight, How to Get Away from the Lord. It's a strange title, isn't it? But I think when we look at Peter, we realize that any of us could get away from the Lord. We realize that any of us are vulnerable. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And Peter, this great man of God, who was in the very physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, found himself walking afar off. And that tells me tonight, it could happen you, and it could happen me tonight. But I think Peter's story is in the Bible, that you and I may learn from his mistakes, may learn from his pathway, that you and I will not take the same route that Peter took, and that we may avoid that getting away from the Lord. The same man who said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The one who, I think it was Caesarea Philippi, stood up and made that famous declaration, is the same man now who says, I don't even know. So how can we get from standing up boldly for the Lord to a place where we even deny that we even know him? So just follow this evening very closely if you can. Just some simple things. First of all, there were some early indications, and backsliding rarely happens instantaneously. It's usually a gradual slipping of standards. It's like the man in the Old Testament with the axe head. You'll remember he was cutting away and the axe head went off and went into the water in the days of Elisha or Elijah. And you'll remember how that the axe head floated. But I often think about the man with the axe head in the days of Elisha, and how perhaps it was a little slack and he didn't bother. it got a little bit more slack and he didn't bother. And eventually it was too late and the cutting edge was gone. And really, as believers, we could lose our cutting edge. Just little bit by little bit by little bit, and suddenly it's gone. And we're walking afar off, just like Peter. Let me say some telltale signs in Peter's life. First of all, there was pride in Peter's life. In Matthew 26, he said to the Lord, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." In Luke's gospel, he said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and into death." Peter had pride in himself, pride in his own ability. Peter was filled with self-confidence. He felt infallible. He felt invincible. And maybe tonight you're thinking, this will never happen to me. Well, if Peter was here tonight, that's exactly how he would have felt. And that's how he did feel. He said to the Lord, "Look, it might happen everybody else, but Lord, it'll never happen to me." He was filled with self-confidence. He was filled with pride. He was depending totally on himself. And so when you find yourself feeling that you're able to do it yourself, well, that's a telltale sign. None of these things of themselves say that you're a backslider, but I'm just trying to build a picture of how it happened for Peter and things that we need to be careful about. Peter began to depend on himself. And when you depend on yourself, I'll say a bit more about this in a moment, the reading of God's Word, the feeding on God's Word, the times of prayer are not that important to you because you don't need the help of the Lord. You feel you can make it on your own. You see, pride, we could say something about some passages. I mentioned one already when the Lord said, "I have to wash your feet." Peter says, "You're not washing my feet." He was arguing against God's Word. It's the same thing when the Lord said, "I have to die. I'm going to have to go to Calvary." In Matthew 16, Peter says, "Be it far from thee, Lord." And he's arguing against the Word of God. He's twisting the Word of God. He's debating the Word of God. He's contradicting the Word of God. Do you ever find yourself arguing against the Word of God? When God speaks to you through His Word, you don't like it. And you know, we look for loopholes. We try and get ways around it to bypass it. And we try our best to ignore it. That's exactly where Peter was. And again, this is some of the telltale signs in Peter's life. Another thing that Peter was doing was pointing at other people. I read that already, but listen to it again. "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter was saying to the Lord, "What you're saying is okay for everybody else, but not for me." And when we get away from the Lord, we tend, when the message is being preached, to say, "That's a good message for him, and that's a good word for her," but we never see the application for ourselves. And we always point at other people, and we can see how they might need it, but we don't need it. And that's how Peter felt. Peter was so quick to point the finger at others, he missed the word for himself. Again, these are little telltale signs. Another telltale sign was praying, and we know the story well, how the Lord took Peter, James, and John into the Garden of Gethsemane. He took those three particular men to three very special occasions. They were there for the raising of Jairus' daughter. They were there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were the three that were chosen to go to Gethsemane. And, you know, I wonder why he picked those three, and there are many reasons could be given, and sometimes we get asked the question, does the Lord have favorites? No, he doesn't. But I believe those were men who were interested in being there and had a real desire to love the Lord in a deeper way. And so I believe that's why the Lord took them with him. But Peter and James and John were brought into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord told them to watch with me. He said in Matthew 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray." And yet when we come to Mark's gospel, this is what the Lord said in Mark 14. "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou?" And he uses Simon and not Peter. And Simon's his old name. Simon was the name he had before he was saved. And it really speaks of our flesh, the old man, the old nature. Because the old nature never wants to pray. If you're ever at a prayer meeting, it's not the old nature that takes you to it. It's the Spirit of God that will take you to it. The old nature has no interest in prayer. The old nature sees no beauty in prayer. no need for prayer. And so the Lord addresses him by the name Simon, sleepest thou? And Simon, rather than praying, Simon was sleeping. A neglected prayer life is surely an indication that you're getting further and further away from the Lord. You know yourself, if you want to build a relationship with someone, it's important that you communicate. And if you don't communicate, you'll not have much of a relationship. And if we stop speaking to the Lord, then that relationship is going to suffer. And we're going to be like Peter, walking afar off. We could mention many things. We could mention the plan that Peter had, because the Lord had a plan. The Lord knew he was to go to Calvary. He knew he was going to die. And when they come to arrest him, you'll remember what Peter did. Peter pulled out the sword and chopped the ear off the man called Malchus, who was the high priest's servant. And you know, Peter had his own plan. Peter was going to take a different route. Peter wasn't interested in the Lord's plan. In other words, Peter was acting according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. And if you find yourself just interested in your own plans, and not in God's plan, not really desiring the will of God for your life, you'll find yourself, like Peter, slipping further and further away from the Lord. Another thing that Peter did, he was in the wrong place. Luke tells us in Luke 22, verse 55, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Here's Peter, and he's in the courtyard. He's in a dangerous place. He's in a foolish place for him to be. He was in a place where it would be difficult for him to resist the temptation or the test that was coming his way. And if we find ourselves going into places where we know there's going to be temptation, where we know there's a risk, then we find ourselves getting further and further away from the Lord. It was Peter that says in 2 Peter 2 verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. But you know, it's not a license for you and I to tempt the Lord and to go to places where we know we're going to face temptation. And so Peter found himself in the wrong place. Then of course we could talk about his position, because it says Peter followed him afar off. He was not as close as he used to be. And so that's the question for us all tonight. Are we as close to the Lord as we were 12 months ago? A month ago? 2 months ago? Is our relationship with the Lord stronger now? Are we being renewed day by day? Because that's what the scripture says we should be. We should be getting more and more like the Lord every day. The old man's perishing. The old outward body is perishing as we get older, but the inward man is to be renewed day by day. So we should be getting more like the Lord and stronger spiritually every day. And if we're not, then we're getting further away from the Lord. Those are some early indications, but let's look at Luke 22. Do you see what I've called evil inclinations? Because Peter's going to take it a little step further. Look at the company he's keeping in verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire, Luke 22, in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Mark puts it like this. He sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. He's now keeping company with the enemies of Christ. And if believers find themselves feeling comfortable in the presence of Christ's enemies, then there's a problem. I know we work with unbelievers, we perhaps live with unbelievers, but there are times when we don't have to be with unbelievers. But if we find ourselves very comfortable in surroundings that are more in keeping with the unsaved than the saved, then there's a danger, and Peter's in the wrong company here. Something else we see here, we see the craft of Satan, because Satan knows exactly how to attack Peter. You know, when he come with an army of men to arrest the Lord, Peter grabbed a sword and would take them on one by one, but he didn't bring an army this time. It says there was a certain maid in verse 56, just a young girl. Satan knows exactly what it takes to pull you or to pull me down. Maybe a girl, maybe a boy, maybe something else. He knows exactly where our weaknesses are and where our strengths are. And he can go for either. Sometimes he goes for our strengths because we feel impregnable in certain areas. Sometimes he goes for our weaknesses because he knows exactly how to get us. And this is what he's doing with Peter. He is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You see the company, you see the craft of the enemy. You see the charge in verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. This is the charge against Peter. John 18 verse 17, the question's asked, art thou not also one of this man's disciple? Luke tells us, thou art also of them. You were with them, you're one of them. He's charged with being a follower of Jesus Christ. I remember when I was at Youth Fellowship many years ago in Coke, I remember someone coming one night and saying, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And I felt like that when I read this about Peter. Peter's accused of being a follower of the Lord. Now that's to his credit. I wonder would we ever be accused of being a Christian? Did anybody ever notice something about us that would make us look like a child of God? That's the charge against Peter, that he's a follower of the Lord. Let's look at his crime, because Peter, first of all, is deceitful. He lies through his teeth. Matthew puts it like this. Now, when Peter sat without in the place, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. This is what John records. He denied it and said, I am not. And again, John records later on, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Peter says, I don't know him. I wasn't with him. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of his disciples. He lies through his teeth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if there's any dishonesty in our lives, we're denying the Lord. Maybe not as openly as Peter. But if he is truth, and truth personified, then dishonesty in me or dishonesty in you is a denial that we belong to the Lord. You see the deceitful. You see him being dishonoring. Peter had called him master. Peter had called him Lord. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he says, I know not the man. He's just a man. It's a term of dishonor. He's just like any other man. Is that how we live? Do we live as if Christ is just like any other man? He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. Do we live as if he doesn't know? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Do we live as if he's not all-powerful? And we don't depend on him. We don't trust him. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Do we live as if at times he's not near us? You see, if we do, then we too are denying the Lord by the way we live. And I hope you can see that this evening. Peter then went a step further. He began to defile. Mark tells us he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. He sinks to the lowest depths. But what about us tonight? You see, we can deny the Lord in many ways. We can deny him with our hands in the things that we do. We can deny him with our feet in the places we go. We can deny him with our eyes and that which we look upon. We can deny him with our tongue and the things that we say. We can deny him with our hearts and how little we love him. We can deny him with our knees and how seldom we're found upon them in prayer. We can deny him with our ears and the things that we listen to. We can deny him with our stomachs and the things that we feed upon. I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. We can deny him with our head and the things that occupy even our thoughts. So we could deny the Lord in many, many ways. It's easy to point the finger at Peter. It's easy to see Peter because he stood up and he publicly deny the Lord, but we can deny the Lord in many, many ways, even with our thoughts. You see the company, you see the craft, the challenge, the crime. We see the crowing. Mark records this in Mark 14, verse 30. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord said to Peter, when the cock crows, you're going to deny me. And now the cock had crowed. Now, that cock crowing meant nothing to anyone else, only Peter. Many people would have heard it, but it was nothing to them. But it meant something to Peter. And you know, it's the same when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God tonight, to many of you here tonight, might not mean anything to you. Because you're close to the Lord. You're strong in the Lord. You're going on with the Lord. You're loving the Lord. You're living for the Lord. You're shining for the Lord. And tonight, this cock crowing, it's not for you, but maybe it's for someone. It's like Paul or Saul as he was on the road to Damascus. When the Lord Jesus appeared and he saw that light and was blinded, he could hear the voice of the Lord. The rest of them just heard a sound. It didn't mean anything to anyone else, only Paul. And Paul could hear the Lord speaking to him personally and specifically. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And when this cock was crowing, it didn't mean a thing to Thomas if he could hear it. It didn't mean a thing to John if he could hear it. It would have meant nothing to any of the other men or women of God, but it meant everything to Peter. Because he knew the Lord was speaking to him. And maybe the cock is crowing for you tonight. And there's just some indications in the things that I have said, in the pathway that Peter has taken, that you need to take account of tonight. And you need to draw back, that you don't end up like Peter, following afar off. It's a miserable place. It's an unhappy place. It's not the place you want to be. You see the early indications. You see the evil inclinations. Then I've called this the eye's intimations. Look at verse 60 to 61 in Luke 22. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord Jesus has just been through mock trials. He's been slapped about. He's been beaten about. He would be tired up all night. He would be painful. He would be beaten. He'd be battered. He would be bruised. And he turns around and he looks at Peter. And Peter could see something in the look of the Savior. You know, it was a heartbreaking look. It must have broken Peter's heart. It was a loving look. Peter could see that even though he had denied the Lord publicly, that the Lord was still looking at him, and there was something that said to Peter, I still love you. It was a forgiving look. Peter, in spite of what you've done, there's forgiveness with the Lord. And as the Lord looked upon Peter, he could see a heartbreaking look, a loving look, a forgiving look, a separating look. Because it says that when he looked at Peter, that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Peter realized he was in the wrong place. Peter realized he had done the wrong thing. And Peter got out as quick as he could when he looked on the Lord and when the Lord looked at him. I would say it was also a restoring look. Matthew records, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, when which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, I believe that was the same look that Peter got the night he was saved. It said in John 1, I think it's 39 to 42, that Jesus beholding him. And that word's not just a glance, it's a look. It's a look of interest. It's a look that says, I'm concerned about you and I want to know more about you. And I want you to belong to me. And here's this same look again. And I think Peter's mind would have went back to the night he was saved. And Peter would realize what the Lord had done for him. realized how the Lord had changed his life. And Peter realized how he had let the Lord down. And it says he went out and he wept bitterly. I believe Peter was under serious conviction. And you'll find in John 20, the next chapter to John 19, that the next morning you'll find him at the tomb. A few days later you find him at the tomb with John. I believe Peter had got himself back to where the Lord wanted him to be. I wonder tonight, has the Lord been speaking to someone here? I wonder, as the Lord looks upon you, I wonder, will you remember the word of the Lord? Remember what the Lord wants you to do. And like Peter, even look back to that night you were saved by the grace of God. You know, it was a heartbreaking look. It was a loving look, a forgiving look, a separating look, a restoring look. But I believe it was a requiring look. You know, if you could imagine the Lord walking through that courtyard, and he's on his way to Calvary, and what must have been going through his mind, and as he turns around he looks at Peter, and Peter's life's changed because of the Lord's look. But you know, Peter had to be looking in the direction of the Lord, or it never would have happened. And if you find yourself walking afar off, unless there's a desire in your heart to get back where you were, unless there's that look from you, then you're not going to find that which you once had. There's no question about the Lord looking for you tonight. There's no question about the Lord wanting you to be as close to him as it's possible for a saved sinner to be. The question is, are we really looking to the Lord tonight? Do we want to be in that place where we're, as we were singing earlier on, just a closer walk with thee? Do we just want that closer walk with the Lord? Are you as close to the Lord tonight as you've ever been? Are you nearer tonight than you ever have been? Because that's exactly where the Lord wants you tonight. And he's looking to you. Are we looking to him tonight? You know, Peter's life was changed. And when you read through Peter's letters, you discover what a restoration was found in Peter. Remember we said Peter was proud. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 5 verse 5, tells us that we should be clothed with humility. Remember Peter failing to pray. 1 Peter 4 verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Remember Peter failed to take his stand. What does he say to us? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter had been careless and Satan took advantage. What does Peter say to us? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter had a problem with the word of God. And yet Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Peter followed afar off, and yet Peter's last word in his final letter is this: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter's life could be summed up by three fires. I might have said this before in a different message, but we've looked tonight at Peter at the fire. He was at the world's fire. And that's where we don't want to be. Then in John 21, you find another fire. You find the Lord Jesus had a little fire going, and he was cooking fish and bread. And that's when Peter was out on the lake. And you know, when Peter came in, he's under fire. Because the Lord asked him a question. He says, lovest thou me more than these? What was the these? Was it his friends, the disciples, who had gone fishing with? Was it the boats and the fishing gear? The past life? It's probably both. The Lord says, Peter, unless you love me more than all of these things, you're not going to be used of me. And Peter's under fire. And what a question to ask tonight. Lovest thou me more than these? What's the these in your life tonight that's taken over and the Lord's been pushed out? And you see Peter at the fire, he's warming his hands. You see Peter under fire. But then in Acts 2, you see Peter on fire. There's fire there. It talks about tongues as a fire. And there wasn't actual fire. It was as fire. It was like fire. But there Peter's on fire. And he preaches the gospel. And thousands are saved. The same man who 6 weeks earlier denied the Lord is now standing up full of the Holy Spirit and seeing many won for the Master. Peter is a great example to us all that we can fall, but you know the Lord's able to lift us up again. And not only lift us up, but make us even better than we were before. And I trust tonight, if the cock's crowing for you, I trust like Peter, you'll look to the Lord tonight and you'll have that closer walk with him. Let's bow in a moment's prayer.